Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
We have been teaching on the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31. And today we're going to study the virtuous woman and her reward. There is a reward to being virtuous, and it's often overlooked. A virtuous woman who has a godly character, a good work ethic, who is virtuous toward her husband and toward her children, is going to definitely be rewarded for her virtue. In verse 31 of Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible says, "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." There's a reward for being virtuous. And if you desire the rewards of being virtuous in your life, then what you need to do is you need to develop the virtue of this woman that you find in Proverbs chapter 31. Now keep in mind that rewards often come later than when you expend the effort. And it's for that reason that a lot of women don't pursue virtue, because they don't want to wait. They want instant gratification for the things they do and are not patient enough to wait for the reward. Nevertheless, let's look at the rewards that come to a virtuous woman. And after seeing these rewards, you may decide, even though I'd have to wait to receive some of these, I'm going to be virtuous because I treasure the rewards greater than the things I can obtain by instant gratification. What are the rewards of a virtuous woman? Well, her rewards are, first of all, honor. Look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. You see that? Honor. Strength and honor are her clothing. I think one of the first reasons that a woman should choose to be virtuous is that she is honored for her virtue. She's honored by those who witness what she's done. She's honored by her family. She's honored by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you consider a virtuous woman. Take Esther, for instance. All right, Esther was raised by her first cousin Mordecai and did everything that he told her to do. Eventually, she was chosen among the virgins as a potential bride and therefore queen for King Ahasuerus. And she honestly did what Mordecai told her to do. Then she did what the keeper of the virgins told her to do. And when her time came to be presented before the king, he loved her. When the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. And so she became the queen. She was honored. Ruth is another example. Ruth was a Moabitess woman, and she came back with Naomi. And so as a widow, and also as a Moabite, she really wouldn't be desirable to any of the men in Israel, you wouldn't think. But she was recognized by Boaz and by the other men and women that were in Israel, in Bethlehem, Judah, where she was from. She was recognized as a virtuous woman. Her reputation was known. She was honored because she had taken such good care of her mother-in-law and had honored the name of her family. And Boaz knew it. And when he found out that Ruth would make herself available to be his wife, he was very pleased. He wasn't offended. He was very pleased. And so the day came and they married, and you know how the story goes. She became the mother of Obed. Obed's son was Jesse, and Jesse's son was David. And Jesus Christ came from the line of people that descended from Boaz and Ruth. You talk about honor. Let me say something to you. In your life, as a woman, you're going to be given the opportunity, if you're young, you're going to be given the opportunity to lose your virginity before you marry. You're going to be given the opportunity to exploit your body by the clothing that you wear. You're going to be given the opportunity to be admired for your beauty. And if you are not careful, you will succumb to the pressure to exploit your beauty and your femininity on behalf of the pleasure of another man or other men. And what will happen is that you may get some instant gratification and even some instant reward. Travel to some fun places. Obtain some beautiful jewelry. Be dined in some luxurious restaurants. Be given the opportunity to experience some of the finer things of the world. But I'm going to tell you something. In time, you'll look back on those days that you gave up yourself for pleasure, and you will find that your honor is gone. Or you can wait for the husband of God's choosing, of God's preparation, and not exploit yourself and be honored and find by comparison that the honor of your husband, the honor of your family, the honor of your friends, and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ is far greater than any pleasure you could have obtained by exploiting your beauty. That's what the Bible says. Strength and honor are her clothing. That's one of the rewards of virtue. And I promise you that waiting and following those things that you see in the Bible for young women is going to be greater than anything you could do by falling in love with the world or worldly men. Second thing, what are the rewards of a virtuous woman? Her rewards are honor and, watch this, joy. Joy. Strength and honor, verse 25 says in Proverbs 31, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice, look at it, in time to come. Some of the joy you get by being virtuous is sooner than later, but a lot of the joy that you get by being virtuous is later. The virtuous woman finds great joy in what she does for her family and in what she does for the Lord. Paul found great joy in leading the Thessalonians to the Lord in spite of the difficulty that he had laboring among them. He says to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul says, what is our joy? What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. So he found joy in the souls of men that he was able to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know something, when you read in Acts chapter 17 about Paul and the time that he spent in Thessalonica or Thessalonica, you find that he met with a great deal of resistance from the Jews. It was very difficult, a great deal of tribulation, a great deal of affliction. And he said, in spite of all that, you are our joy. Now, the greater joy is in seeing those converts then grow up and walk in truth. The Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 found great joy in giving sacrificially to the Lord in spite of their great trial of affliction and their deep poverty. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Notice, they had an abundance of joy in spite of their affliction and their great trial and their deep poverty. You say, how in the world could they do that? Until you experience something like what the Macedonians did or something like what Paul did for yourself, you're not going to know what that joy is like. Nobody can tell you. I mean, with something more descriptive than the words we've already used, I'll just tell you that when the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31 that you shall rejoice in time to come as a virtuous woman, then it is worth whatever you have to do to be a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman, as you saw in all these studies we've done of Proverbs chapter 31, expends a tremendous amount of effort on behalf of her husband and her family, working diligently and late at night and early in the morning and preparing food and making clothing and preserving the reputation of her husband, all those kind of things. You look at that and you say, well, I don't want that kind of life. What I want to be is I want to be a career woman. I want to make it in the world of finance and corporations. I want to be recognized as one of the up-and-coming great women of the world. Let me tell you something. I believe the joy that comes from being a virtuous woman, as described in Proverbs chapter 31, is greater than the joy that you might find being recognized in the business world as a successful career woman. I believe that with all my heart, and I've watched it in women that I've seen. God wouldn't have written what he wrote here if that wasn't so. Listen, the Macedonians found that God truly loveth a cheerful giver. The point is that sometimes you have to wait to see the joy. According to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25, the joy, the reward of joy, comes in time, in due season, if we faint not. Take, for instance, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? Well, then that would indicate that the cross itself was not joyful, but the product of the cross was joy. There was a joy set before him beyond the cross. And there is a joy set before you beyond changing diapers, for instance. You find joy later when you have had 50 years of a good marriage. That's a rare thing these days. You find joy later when you have godly grandchildren. You are rewarded for rearing the godly parents of your grandchildren. And I'm going to tell you something. In seeing godly grandchildren, you find a true and deep satisfaction, a joy that is beyond any joy that the world can offer in some other way. So therefore, I commend to you virtue. Be a virtuous woman. What are the rewards to a virtuous woman? Well, her rewards are honor in verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 31. Her rewards are joy in verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 31. And you know what else? Your rewards are excellence. Excellence. Look at verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. What you do as a virtuous woman excels what the world's women do. Take Mary, for instance, who anointed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ before his burial when she broke the alabaster box. She was scoffed by the disciples, who said that it was a great waste for her to take that ointment and anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. She should have sold that alabaster box and that ointment and given that money to the poor. See, they scoffed her, and these were the men that were close to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said that she had anointed his body before the burial, indicating there wasn't going to be time after his death. And therefore, he said, she is recognized for her excellent work everywhere the gospel is preached. As a matter of fact, when you read in the Bible, you find that she is recognized in all four gospels for this excellent work. Jesus said about her, she hath done what she could. You know, the world would look at what Mary did the same way the disciples looked at it. What a waste. What a waste. And the world looks at virtue in women today and they say, what a waste. But the Lord says, she hath done what she could. And the Lord says, thou excellest them all. I'll give you another example. You remember that widow that had the two mites and gave that offering in the temple, and the Lord said that it was the greatest offering, that she excelled all others in her offering? Listen, her gift was really the smallest gift. It was just two mites. But because it was all of her living, she excelled above all of the rich people who gave of their abundance. So you may be looking at your life really the wrong way. You may be saying, look at such and such a woman. She has done such great things. She's on the cover of People magazine. Look at this woman here. She's done such great things. She's on the cover of Forbes magazine. Look at this woman here. She's done such great things. She has a high profile on television or on the internet or wherever. And what happens is you look at virtue and you say, well, that's not worth having because look how great these other women are. There are women today who have forfeited their virtue in their young teenage years when they're 14, 15, 16 years old, and today they are well known among the public as great women. But I'm going to tell you something, the little you do in your virtue excels the work and notoriety of the great women of the world. You understand that? The Bible says, who hath despised the day of small things? As long as you have done your best for the Lord, you excel. And that's your reward. Excellence. Mary, excellent in her anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The widow, excellent in her offering to the treasury. You, excellent in your virtue. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. What are the rewards of a virtuous woman? They are honor, joy, excellence, and this, praise, praise. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, verse 31 says, and let her own works praise her in the gates. A virtuous woman receives the praise of her family. Women appreciate being appreciated. My mother loves thank you notes. When she does something for us and we respond quickly with a thank you note, it gives her a great deal of pleasure. Why? Because she's being praised for something that she did. Now, she doesn't do it for the praise. She does it out of love for her children. But she really appreciates being appreciated. My wife appreciates our thanks for meals she prepares and other things she does for us there at the house. And you say, well, that's just not enough. But I'm going to tell you something. She receives the praise of Jesus Christ later. Just imagine when the Lord Jesus Christ himself recognizes you, just like he recognized Mary, just like he recognized the widow, for a job well done. When he says to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy rest. May I tell you something? Tremendous truth here. And I really pray that you will let this truth sink down deep into your heart. People today are being praised and recognized for evil and filth and wickedness and things that are contrary to God. And just like the Pharisees who loved the praises of men more than the praises of God, that type of praise is vain. It is here today and gone tomorrow. But the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ survives for eternity. Survives for eternity. And is worth waiting for. The praise of your family, the praise of your husband, is of far greater value than praise by your friends. Your friends may come and go, but your husband, your family, they are the ones that are knit with you, your husband as one flesh, your children as the fruit of that union. And they are the ones who will reward you well for your virtue, if you would so choose it. What are the rewards of a virtuous woman? They are honor, joy, excellence, praise, and then this, fruit. Fruit. Look at verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Fruit. Paul said to the Philippians when they sent him money, he said, it's not that I desired a gift. He said, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. Paul in Hebrews talks about the chastening of the Lord, and he says there's a benefit to the chastening of the Lord. It can be grievous, of course. But he said, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So fruit is a very valuable thing, but fruit takes some time to come up. You don't plant a seed and tomorrow harvest the crop. It takes time for fruit to be born. And you know something? Your reward as a virtuous woman will be the fruit of your labor, the fruit of your ministry. And your fruitfulness is twofold. You get to keep the fruitful yield on the labor you put into your family, but then you also have your fruit at the judgment seat of Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, when the things you have done survive the fire of the judgment seat of Christ and come through as gold and silver and precious stones. May I tell you, going to the picture show, that's what we used to call it, okay? And being able to see all the worldly glitz and glamour of New York and Las Vegas and San Francisco and the theater district and all those other kind of things, that may really entice you. But there's no fruit in any of that when you get to the judgment seat of Christ. There's no fruitful yield in any of that put into your family. That's all for you. That's all expended. It's all vanity. You put in time with your family and impart to them the fruit of your virtue. What you're going to see when you get to the judgment seat of Christ is something you will keep for eternity if you are willing to wait, if you do not strive for instant gratification. May I finish today's broadcast very simply and commend to you to be a virtuous woman in every capacity that you find here in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. It will be worth the wait. Your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason that you and I can even be having this conversation today, came to this earth and literally gave up all of his riches and entered a life of poverty that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He demonstrated to us the need to be virtuous, the need to put off your immediate gratification and wait for a reward that was far greater. Can you imagine the satisfaction of the Lord Jesus Christ today, of the millions of souls that have gotten saved? And can you imagine the joy in heaven when he says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth? Can you imagine that? Well, it's beyond your imagination. And may I say to you, you may think that giving in to the lust of your flesh is the thing that will satisfy you the most, but it's not. What will satisfy you the most in eternity and over time is simply to live according to the virtue of Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, and wait on a reward that is far greater than any vain thing that the world can offer. Wait on your honor, your joy, your excellence, your praise, and your fruit, and you truly will be blessed for doing just that.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.